My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hotline, we bring in Joe Sheehan from the Joe Sheehan Newsletter. Hi, Joe. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Joe.
Good, man. Good time to be coming in to talk Guardians baseball, I guess, huh?
Excellent time, because I'm sitting here and I can't convince anybody to want to watch the Browns and Packers tomorrow because they're so not excited about the preseason.
Yeah, I preseason football, I have trouble getting into it myself just because so few of the real players play anymore. It's, you know, they've got to cut it back to three games, and I think I'm actually fourth on the depth chart for the Packers tonight.
Congratulations.
What position?
Outside linebacker.
Oh, okay,
I'm the only 5'7". This is how it gets. Guys who are 5'7", 200 actually play outside linebacker in preseason NFL football.
There you go. You're our new London Fletcher. It's awesome.
The show is now done. We will not have a line better than that all day.
Yeah, we're done. It's time to start the weekend. All right, look, we're looking at the Guardians, and things haven't felt real good for the last five games. Ooh. Here. Should we be concerned, especially when we look at this rotation?
Yeah, I'm definitely low man on the Guardians. I said even about a month ago that I'm concerned they're not even going to make the playoffs. Now, they're in pretty good shape. They're, I want to say this morning, still seven games clear of a playoff berth, but you mentioned that starting rotation, and you know, it wasn't that strong even early in the season. You know, they lost Bieber early. Tristan McKenzie was pitching through that UCL. You mentioned that he might hurt on the break. He might actually come back and pitch tonight. Of the six main starters they've used this year, guys, four of them are actually averaging less than five innings a start. And the other two, Bivey and Lively, are just a tick above that. So they've put a lot of weight on this bullpen. Anthony Castrovince at MLB.com had a note that the Guardian starters are at the 23rd Major League Baseball in innings provided. So the bullpen's made up a lot of that. The bullpen's been absolutely fantastic, the best bullpen in the game, Clause at the back end. And, you know, a lot of the, if you think about, you know, Francona teams, they would get a lot of random performances from the bullpen. Steven Vogt has continued that. You look at what they've gotten from Cade Smith and Hunter Gaddis and Tim Herron. I mean, that's really been the core of a fantastic bullpen. But even in this last week, we started to see those guys slip a little bit. The workloads might be catching up to them.
Does Alex Cobb help the situation in a big way? In a little way, or who knows?
Who knows, because Alex Cobb hasn't been able to really stay in a rotation. I think that's a good gamble by the Guardians. It didn't really cost them anything in talent. It's going to cost them a couple bucks to pay him. But, you know, Cobb didn't really have a role in that Giants rotation because they're so deep now. So taking a shot on him, when Cobb is one of these good or unavailable pitchers. When he's available, when he's healthy and on the mound, he's basically a number three, even a low number two starter. But it's getting into the mound that's been the problem. So it's a little bit – it's a high-variance move trading for him, and I like that. I like the idea of going out and trying to get a guy who, if it all works out, could start game two of a playoff series for you.
Joe, I'm with you on that one. Matthew Boyd, where's your thought process on a guy coming back from Tommy John?
Managed to find somebody who's even more high variance than Alex Cobb is hard to do. Boyd, what's he made, 7 starts in 4 years or something. He just hasn't been able to stay on the mound. But it's the same thing when he's been on the mound, he's been fairly, he hasn't been as effective as Cobb, but he's been fairly good. Again, take your chances because, you know, this pitching, as good as they've been at finding relievers this year, you know, the starters haven't really worked out. They've had some injuries at the upper levels. They don't really have the internal depth that we might have projected for them a couple of years ago. So go out, get guys who could be short-term solutions. You're just trying to – if one of those two guys steps in and gives you 7 good starts down the stretch, you've won that trade package. So I'm more – how do I put this? I'm more confident in Cobb. But, again, Boyd is that variance rate. If you tell me that in a month from now we're talking about how he saved the Guardians' rotation, I can't be all that surprised. I'd like to tell you – I'm supposed to give you stronger answers in this, but in both cases, they're very much random number generators. And they could stay on the mound. They could – you know, Cobb and Boyd could give you 10 innings. They could give you 10 starts.
I'm looking at the race, and I'm just curious. One, should the Guardians be more concerned with the Royals or the Twins? And what are we looking at with the Twins here down the stretch? I mean, they've won 5 of their last 7. They dropped 2 to Chicago, but they've won 5 of their last 7.
Yeah, I still think the Twins are the best team in that division. They've had a ton of injuries up and down, which, hey, look, you build your team around Byron Buxton and Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa. That's part of the buy-in, right? You're going to expect some missed time. When they have everybody healthy, and Correa's about to come off the IL here, they're the best team in the division. I got some concerns. Joe Ryan left the game the other day. I haven't seen an update on him. That front three with Ryan, Lopez, and Bailey Ober has been fantastic. A bunch of strike throwers who throw those, you know, those modern IDB fastballs that are coming on a flat angle and end up high in the zone. Their Twins are very much a modern pitching development team, but they really want to throw those. The bullpen's been fantastic. Duran at the back end, they found a lot of guys this year to pitch well for them in front of him as well. Like I say, if everybody's healthy, the Twins are the best team in this division. I think if you're the Guardians, you got to go into this weekend thinking, let's just take two. If you leave Minnesota with a 3.5-game lead, you've got to be thrilled.
I would agree with you completely on that one. What do you think of the Lane Thomas trade? What do you think of Lane Thomas's role on this team?
I don't think they gave up a ton for him. I think the question is I have is batting in second against right-handers. Even last year during his breakout season with the Nationals, he had a very big platoon split. Thomas is somebody who crushes lefties and just kind of hangs in there against righties. Basically a 300 OBP guy, even during his good years against right-handers. So when you drop him into the number two spot, then really I think that's stretching what his actual skills are. Now, the number two spot's been an issue for the Guardians all year long, so I kind of understand the experiment. But to me, that hurts the lineup when you're hitting a 300 OBP in front of Jose Ramirez. I'm not sure how long that's going to last, how long it'll stay in that two spot against righties. If you saw the last at-bat of I forget which of the two doubleheader games, guys, it was, but he got just blown away by Justin Martinez, just a non-competitive at-bat. And that's who he is against righties. He really is somebody that can get blown away. So I like him as a fourth outfielder. I like him as a platoon partner. If you're going to play him every day, try to bat him lower in the lineup against righties. Do I like him better than John Kensley Noel and Angel Martinez and some of the guys they've been, you know, kind of running out there? Tyler Freeman. I mean, the outfield has been an issue for the Guardians. I think Thomas can play in that group, but I'd like to see his role a little bit reduced.
Just curious, your thoughts on Emmanuel Clase and his odds and chances of winning the Cy Young?
We really don't do that anymore. I mean, there was a stretch where award voters were really enamored of relievers. Eckersley won a Cy Young and an MVP.
Yeah.
Willie Hernandez won an MVP. Eric Gagne won a Cy Young, if I remember correctly. Steve Petrosian won a Cy Young. We really haven't done that with relievers. There's a couple of things. One, relievers just throw so few innings now, it's very hard for them to accumulate the value. Most voting pools, and remember, the voters aren't a monolith. The voters for any award are a subset of 30 people from the BBWAA. So in any given year, you might have more stat heads or fewer stat heads on a given award. But when you're talking about a pitcher who's going to get to 70, maybe 75 innings, it's very hard for them to accumulate the value. Even in a year where starting pitchers aren't throwing as many innings and when, you know, both Cy Young races are really up in the air, I would be very surprised. Could I see Clase getting a vote or two, finishing third, fourth, pops? Yes. I would be very surprised if he won the Cy Young Award.
How have the Guardians done this year, Joe? Joe Sheehan joining us from the Joe Sheehan newsletter. How have they done this? Because we've been thinking, you know, look at the rotation. This isn't going to last. Look at the lineup. That's not going to last. It's lasted. Here we are, you know, into August. They're still in first place. Might be struggling a little bit now, but they're still there. It's been a fun ride here.
They built up a great cushion early on when they were hitting. You mentioned the lineup has lasted. It really hasn't. If you look at last 6 to 8 weeks, the offense has really fallen off from that early season burst when they were scoring much more than we would expect any Guardians team to score. There's a lot of talk about the changes to the ballpark and how that changed the run environment. But, you know, even if you look past, if you use park-adjusted stats, they still looked very good. It's a good but not a great offense, in part because you just have a lot of holes. You know, Jimenez, I guess we're never getting 2022 back. Brian Rocchio didn't hit at all. Tyler Freeman didn't hit at all. So you have a lineup that has it's had a lot of holes in it. You know, they brought up Noel, they brought up Martinez. They tried to be aggressive with that, try to churn in guys, and I like to see that. But the offense just isn't what it was in the first 2 months. Starting pitching as well, you know, getting Gavin Williams back, it really seemed like it was going to be a really big deal, but, you know, he's averaging less than 5 innings to start. But, you know, Bybee Williams, I think, you know, Ben Lively, really a number five, who kind of got a little bit lucky on balls in play for a while. And I talked earlier about losing Bieber, what they got out of McKenzie so far this year. Carlos Carrasco's basically been a number five. You know, the rotation's never really been that good. To me, it's been the bullpen. One of the concerns I had with Stephen Vogt was, you know, he's never managed before. How is he going to run not just the big picture stuff, but the little pitch stuff on a night-to-night basis? And what we've seen, he's gotten great work out of, you know, Clase, we talked about him as a Cy Young candidate, but we knew he was great. But to get 200 innings of great work out of the next four guys in the bullpen, I think is one of the big things that he's done this year. So to me, this is a team that got off to a good start, has had an incredible bullpen, including a lockdown closer. A lockdown closer helps. I mean, if you look at some of the surprise, if you look at the best relief seasons in history, I mentioned Gagne, Fernando Rodney, Wade Davis, those teams tend to also be surprise teams because you just never lose a game late. So whereas most teams will lose, even the best closers will give up 3 to 4 losses a year in the late innings. You've got, you know, when you have one of these guys with a 0.69 ERA, you're not losing any of those games. So that's some extra wins that the Guardians have banked. So I think the bullpen's been the single biggest factor. And it's how they're going to hold on if they do hold on. Because the offense and the rotation, I just don't think they're going to be much better. It's going to take the bullpen winning every single game that they get handed a lead down the stretch.
Joe, I know I talked about Class A for Cy Young, but you would think it's Stephen Vogt's to win for AL Manager of the Year, as long as everything doesn't fall apart here. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, even if it does fall apart, you look at the rest of the league, you know, Brandon Hyde, again, this is a team that has already jumped to that level, so I'm not sure Hyde's going to have a ton of support. Aaron Boone, I'd be surprised. Joe Espada, you know, in his first year in Houston, you can make a case, maybe he'll get some respect if they win that division, but it would take probably not only would the Guardians have to lose the division, they'd probably have to fall out of the playoff mix and do it in a really ugly fashion. I heard coming in, guys, vote on an audio clip. And one of the things I think I see in him right now is not panicking. You know, you talk about rookie managers sometimes getting into a tough situation and not really knowing how to handle it. He seems calm. The 5-game losing streak hasn't affected how he's approaching. He's not throwing players under the bus. He's not radically changing the lineup or how he uses the bullpen. So I think there's a calmness that he's projecting right now that helps his team.
Joe, thank you so much. Always love your stuff and love all the information we get when we talk to you. So, and we'll be checking out the Joe Sheehan newsletter as well. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Joe Sheehan on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Interesting what he had to say. Are you concerned that, I mean, with this losing streak, you kind of wonder if this is just did they reach the apex of the season or is more good things to come? And maybe we'll find out more over the next 4 games against Minnesota to kind of propel them into the rest of the year. But there's another faction that might be saying, all right, well, they've dodged bullets all season. Are the wheels falling out? How confident are you that the Guards are going to make the playoffs moving forward? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
They've been able to defy gravity the whole time here, right? And they continue to turn your head back towards them just when you think you're like, ugh. But now they're in the midst of a 5-game losing streak, and they've got the Twins who are breathing down their neck for the AL Central. And by the end of the weekend, the AL Central could look a lot different. Guardians win 2, changes everything. They just need to win 2 of the 4. So you're looking at a doubleheader today, and then you've got games on Saturday and Sunday. Is there any part of you, Jeff, that makes you think, oh boy, I don't know?
Absolutely. Dano's got something.
All right, we got roster moves galore. So everybody pay attention here. This is going to take a second.
What sport?
Baseball.
The Cleveland Guardian roster moves.
Thank you.
This has been announced by the team itself. Outfielder Will Brennan has been recalled from AAA. Peter Straczynski has been recalled from Columbus as well, the right-handed pitcher that was picked up. Joey Cantillo, I should say, the left-handed pitcher, has been recalled from Columbus as the 27th man.
Will he start today?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far.
Come on, Dan. Man.
Carlos Carrasco has been placed on the 15-day IL.
That's convenient.
And Angel Martinez has been optioned to AAA Columbus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So, to recap those once again, including a poor pronunciation that will come this way, no offense to Peter or the family. Outfielder Will Brennan.
Straczynski, isn't that it?
I'll have you pronounce it when I get there. Outfielder Will Brennan has been recalled from AAA. Right-handed pitcher Peter
Straczynski
has been recalled from AAA Columbus. Left-handed pitcher Joey Cantillo has been recalled from AAA Columbus as the 27th man for the doubleheader.
He's got to start today.
Right-handed pitcher Carlos Carrasco has been placed on the 15-day IL. And infielder Angel Martinez heading down to Columbus.
Wow.
Those are your roster moves from the Guardians.
You surprised about Martinez?
I'm wondering if they didn't make Brennan's up, right? Isn't that what we just said? Brennan got called back up, or Brennan's back on the roster?
Brennan is back up.
I'm wondering if this isn't just a one-day deal for Martinez.
It can't be. You can't just send him down for a day.
I don't know. I'm just looking at the roster.
He's played well. I've liked him.
Does he have to go down for 15 days?
I think it's 10, isn't it?
Is it 10? Is that right? I don't know either. So you got to assume Cantillo is going to start, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, that just makes sense.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And if he pitches well, you got something else to think about then, don't you?
I'm kind of surprised by the Martinez move. A little bit. You?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I think he's been, of the young guys they've brought up and have put out there in center field, he's been the most intriguing to me.
It seems like they've had confidence in putting him in the lineup, too.
He's been intriguing.
Yeah. I don't know. So those are the moves. Obviously, they need a starting pitcher for tonight, so that just screams it's Cantillo for tonight's second game of the doubleheader.
First game.
The first game.
And didn't they switch? Because Cobb was listed as the first game.
Cobb on MLB.com right now is listed as the starter of the second game of the doubleheader. TBD is currently starting the first game.
TBD.
Jeff, again, I ask you the question, where are we with this team? And is this going to be a big faith weekend, right? If they can walk out, all they have to do is win two of the four, and then I'll have faith. I need them to win two out of the four.
Will Brennan played 9 games in Columbus. 371.
Makes you feel confident in their playoff run?
No, but it might make them feel confident. They sent him down and he did the job, right? Maybe found something.
I'll take a phone call because I'm curious about what folks think about this team right now. Right now, you got a 4-game series against Minnesota. It's huge.
You know what I think this team is right now?
Jeff, what is this team right now?
Fun. Andy, this is fun,
it's
man.
It's been fun.
It still is fun.
I don't know. This 5-game losing streak has not been fun.
Well, of course not. But, Andy, we're concerned. The Browns open the season tomorrow.
Preseason.
They open their season tomorrow.
As far as you're concerned, in the first segment that we had today, first hour, preseason.
Go ahead. And we are talking about the Guardians. And that is phenomenal. Because expectations about this team this year, I don't think anybody thought we'd be talking about the Guardians in mid-August and thinking, yep, they're in first place right now. Man, this is a big series against Minnesota.
No, but we
credit to them. Credit to them, and
all right.
It's still fun. I think there are holes all over that team, and yet they win, and that's impressive. And this has been one of the most enjoyable and unexpected seasons we've had in a long, long time. And is there fault to be had? Yeah. Your hitters aren't doing a great job anymore, and your starters are kind of a mess. But guess what? That's part of the fun. How are they doing this? As Joe Sheehan told us, great bullpen. Yeah, that's been key. Timely hitting. Yeah, that's not so much anymore. Joe didn't say timely hitting. I threw that in. But, Andy, this has been great, man. This has been a great season for these guys. I sure hope they can finish it out because it'll be disappointing if they do this well for this long and aren't able to finish it up. And by finish it up, is it safe to just say make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Do we have to have the division? Dan's got more info.
Our buddy Zach Meisel on Twitter, Joey Cantillo will start game one for the Guardians today. Alex Cobb starts game two.
Okay.
So there you go. Joey Cantillo starting game one for the Guardians today. Alex Cobb, game two.
And Martinez can't be called back up for 10 days, right? Pitchers are 15. Regular players are 10 days before they can be recalled. Pitchers are 15 days before they can be recalled. Mike is in Elyria. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm not panicking yet, but I'm knocking on the panic house right now.
Why? I feel the same way, Mike. Why do you feel that way?
Well, here's my biggest thing that I think we need to watch this weekend is Alex Cobb, because we're putting a lot of our chips in that this guy is going to come back, and I really feel that he is a great pitcher and he's going to come back strong for us. But if he doesn't, there's going to be a lot of now what questions. And as far as Brennan coming back, I think that that's a great move, and here's why. We were really, we have become a very right-handed dominant team all of a sudden, and we had no lefties to bat against right-handers. Right-handers are killing us. And I talked to you guys a week or two ago about Lane Thomas, that he's not a really good batter against right-handed pitching. And his stats have shown that. So if you platoon Brennan and Lane Thomas, and I know nobody thinks that Lane is there to be platooned, but that's why they brought him back. I really do believe that. And I'm going to go back to one of my favorites, Bob Knight. He always said, the greatest motivator is the bench.
That's a good point. Good point.
Basically was shown the bench and sent to AAA. And what you want to have happen is what Jeff just said, he responded. He batted 371. If you can get Martinez to do the same thing now and stop swinging out from underneath his helmet on every pitch, you're going to have something. And these guys, you know, even though that Brennan's been around for a while, he still has a lot to learn. And I think he's going to come back, and maybe he's going to prove himself. But this is a big show-me weekend in Minnesota. Agreed. And we're 5-0 against them now. And if we come out of there, you know, 8-1, God forbid for the Twins, we come out of there 9-0. We come out of that series and we're 9-0 against the Twins, the race is over, I believe.
All right, Mike, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's see what Kansas City has to say about that, too.
One thing about Martinez, though, and he's a left-handed hitter, too, you know, a switch hitter. It's interesting. You just hope Will Brennan stays hot, right? Good luck.
So I'm looking at the rotation. So Cantillo, first game, Cobb, second, Williams, Saturday, and then what, Bibee on Sunday is probably what we're looking at. Right now that's listed as blank, but that, from what I was reading, it sounds like Bibee on Sunday. And then Lively on Monday against the Cubs, and then you've got Carrasco after that was originally scheduled for that game. So Carlos going on the DL here for a little bit, or IO, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that'll be interesting. All right, let's talk to Coach in Cleveland. Hey, Coach.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, you know what? I've been an Indians, a Guardians fan all my life, you know, and. But the one thing the last 7-8 years I've always noticed about them, they've had this pattern of really playing strong in August and September. And a lot of it is due to Dave having a lot of young guys playing. And when it comes to them dog days of August, the veterans, man, they wear it down. You know, they're struggling to get to the finish line in the playoffs. Whereas the Guardians, man, I just feel like this team, them young guys just needed to have bats. They needed to get at bats. And so that they can understand how guys are getting them out. And I'm telling you, I just have this firm belief that these last 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks is going to be real good for this team. I predict they win probably 7 out of every 10 games going down the stretch.
How about this weekend? What do you think about this weekend?
Well, I think we're going to do well, you know, because that reliever rotation, man, that can cement games for you. And I just think Jose's hot, Naylor's hot. These guys, you know, these young guys feed on them guys. And I just think they're gonna play well. Cool. I know they're gonna play well this weekend.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it, Coach. Checking in from Cleveland. I'm very intrigued with tonight's start for Cobb. Right? I mean, that's must-see TV. It's on Apple TV tonight, too, by the way.
That's one to watch. That's one to watch, Andy. This is he's key. I hate to say that. I think he's key. Or maybe better put, somebody stepping up is key. Maybe it's Cantillo. You know, what if Cantillo goes 6 tonight and gives up a run on 3 hits?
Sounds good to me.
You don't think he's not getting another start? And you just dispatched Carlos Carrasco. You know, you didn't send Carlos down to AAA.
No, so again.
How convenient that he's injured.
Well, well, are you saying there's some foul play going on here?
No, Jeff? It's nothing foul. It's but very fair. It's
plantar fasciitis right there in the play. NBA? What are we talking about here?
Well, my arm.
Yeah. You with the golf shoes on. We'll come on in and putt for me.
We'll take Cantillo. We'll take Danny Noonan.
All right. So do you feel feeling is the wrong word. I want to see what tonight looks like because, you know, much like there are position battles I want to watch in that game tomorrow, Cobb, I think, is the most interesting and intriguing thing as far as success moving. And then getting Bybee back. I mean, suddenly it feels a little bit stronger. You take – I'm nothing against Carlos, but if you take him out of the rotation and you plug in pretty much anybody else right now, I mean, I don't think anybody expected Carlos to be in this spot when the season started, much like the team itself. So Carlos is shut down for the next 15 days or at least, right? Because he's on the injured list. So
10.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to believe, man. Go sweep the Twins, would you please? Wouldn't that be nice? And then you'd be right.
No, don't kickstart. That's too much to ask for.
I'm asking for two. I wasn't really
Joe was right. And you're right. You take two out of four, and you leave town with a
Steven.
Three. Yeah, thank you. You're good.
It's all you need. All right. Speaking of baseball, Jeff saw something last night that needs to be talked about, and we're going to talk about it next.
Thanks, you want Jeff. A crushing defeat?
No.
It's coming up next.
Oh, thanks. I mean, because we're sitting here debating in the break about what the Guardians roster looks like. And when Alex Cobb starts tonight, is he on the 40-man or not on the 40-man? And he's on the 40-man on the 60-day IL right now. According to MLB.com, which I think we can trust. Can we trust that? Anybody want to question that? He's on that. And if I'm reading correctly, on the 60-day, on your 40-man roster, okay, they've got a couple guys who are on the 60. Bieber, Cobb, who's going to come off tonight to start, Karinchak, Stefan, that's what, four, and then one more. Four. So that would take you to what, 60? That would take you to 44 on the roster. He comes off, so they do maybe need to make a switch here to get one more guy. It'll be interesting to see what happens, how they play that out. Because he'll have to come back on the active roster, so you get to 40. So we'll see. We'll see what the next move is for the Guardians. Okay, let's talk about kids, Jeff.
That's the tease. That's the lead in.
Yeah, that's the lead in. Let's talk about what I teased going in the break too, because you wanted to. You had just big fun last night when it comes to watching some of the kids play some baseball. Well,
it was crushing last night.
Crushing for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, you're making fun of me for wanting to talk about a kid's story? Mr. Defender of anything for anybody under the age of 16?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not making fun of the kids. I'm not either. I'm feeling snarky.
Jeff, I don't...
From you.
I do feel for the kids. It's the adults and not the kids. The adults didn't do anything here. Okay, I will tell you what the adults did wrong then. I will find something with this
where
the adults did something that was so adult-like that it didn't make any sense for the kids.
I was flipping through last night. Something boring came on during the Olympics, so I switched over and a regional championship game for the Little League World Series popped up.
Okay.
And it was those...
ESPN3?
I don't know what it was.
I've been watching
the powerhouses out of Idaho and Washington were playing for the championship of the Northwest region. And Idaho had the lead going into the bottom of the sixth. Top of the sixth. So they're up 6-5, right? You get three outs, you're done, right? You go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series.
You're on your way.
These kids had two outs and two strikes on the batter from Washington.
It's over, baby.
They were up 6-5.
La la la. Kid got a base hit. They're getting ready to sing.
And it kept going.
What?
One strike away from going to Williamsport.
No.
Idaho gave up 8 runs.
Oh.
Washington took a 13-6 lead. They won 13-7.
Oh, they were one strike away.
One strike away from Williamsport. and gave up 8.
Oh, and let me guess. The network that was airing this, which I think we all know, showed the kids crying after the loss. True?
Didn't notice that.
Okay.
Didn't notice that. I do notice that the kids from Washington had all had blonde hair. Little team unity thing, you know, they bleached their heads.
Oh. I thought it was just ironic that all the kids on that team
They bleached their hair.
Maybe that's why they came. Were able to come
I don't
back
know. There were a couple of little shots of kids from Idaho who weren't real happy, but
they gotta get that last out. Right?
They didn't go nuts on the.
That's why you play till it's over.
But, I mean, talk about seriously. For the rest of their lives, I was one strike away from going to the Little League World Series. That's awful, man. There were some boots, some bad plays. Kid got to third base. Kid scored. And another kid was moved.
Were there any controversial calls or anything in there?
No, nothing. They did do a review of something.
It's like once they gave up the lead, they actually gave
a review, and they overturned a call at first base. Next pitch to the next kid with two men on base. It's a bomb to center field. 3-run homer.
I hate to say I'm a hypocrite, but because I don't like
it was crushing, man.
I've never been in favor of showing the entire Little League World Series because at some point I just think it's
they used to show the actual final game on Wide World of Sports back.
That was
in the
it,
day.
Yeah. And it was
that was what you saw. That
and
was
it was World Series. It was the team from the United States against a team from somewhere else in the world.
It wasn't kids wearing their regular uniforms, which is kind of what's going on now in these regional things.
I don't know. When I was watching last week, the team from I was watching ESPN3, and maybe it was a different level. The kids were from I don't want to say they were from near Youngstown, Poland, and they were wearing Central. They were representing the Central. I think they were playing Arizona in those games. It is amazing to me how many of these games you can watch now, all of them. And I used to think. Because remember, we didn't really have Little League more than that Wide World of Sports game until the strike of 94. That is when the whole thing exploded.
Well,
because ESPN was looking for something to broadcast, and there was a part of me going, man, do we really need to show 12-year-olds playing two levels before they actually get to, and then talking about these kids like they're major leaguers?
Regardless, you have scarred kids in Idaho today.
Sorry to hear it. Zach in Cleveland wants to chime in on this.
One strike away, Zach.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
Guys, I've been watching the Little League World Series since before I was at the age of wanting to play in it. It's something I always had a dream of, and I'll probably watch it till the day I die. I'm still living vicariously through these kids out there. It's so cool to see, you guys were just saying, how far it's come. And the production is probably a little bit too much, but they have to, make it, viewable to be on TV so that people will watch it. So they have to, show all the kids, favorite sports and favorite foods and stuff like that. I think that stuff's kind of cool, but it just kind of gets redundant. But I was actually just thinking about this, and my girlfriend and I were watching it last night.
Zach, that was awful, man. One strike.
But if you also think about it on the other side, though, guys, I mean, that's what you dream of as a kid. It's top or bottom of the last inning. You got guys on base. You're down a run, down to your final strike, and you get the hit to take the lead. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now because that's what you dream of as a kid. That's what you want.
It was pretty cool.
So we get to see that in these kids. You get to see what these kids get to live out. Obviously, there always is the other side of it. There's always a loser that comes out of it. And it's sad to see these kids cry and stuff like that, of course. But, it definitely builds character. I will say that. And they're humbled enough to know that they're good enough to be on TV. But also, there's kids on the other side of it that are just as good. And sometimes it doesn't always end in a win, even though it did the whole season for them to get to where they are. It sometimes doesn't always end that way. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I also think there's the other one. The other part of this is, I mean, that is going to be the pinnacle of so many of these kids' baseball career. Right?
Oh, without question.
To have a chance. Sure. I mean, I'm trying to remember. There aren't many guys that go from, end up playing in that little. I mean, there were a couple off the top of my head that I just forgot. I remember Brian Sipe played in a Little League World Series championship.
John Burroughs did.
Is that John Burroughs? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. And to think that that's like, you know, that's it, man. That is the pinnacle of your baseball career. Yeah. So
remember those Little League teams, though. It's not like, you know, your rec team. They're all all-star teams from communities that play.
But they're not travel teams, are they?
No.
So.
No.
So then you have to make a decision, I think, at some point, right? Or most of those. I wonder how many of those kids go from playing on those Little League teams then to going to play travel ball.
I don't know.
As soon as that's over. So were you locked in on it then? I mean, so you were.
I was watching it because these poor kids were getting crushed. They made a pitching change. The kid that actually was that was one strike away. He was actually throwing really well. Hmm. They took him out. There were errors behind him. It wasn't pretty. And then the first pitch by the next kid, this kid just hit a bomb to straightaway center. It was brutal.
Pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to see it. So I do know, though, that like all of these games are now available to watch 24/7. You know, you think about when we went from the pandemic watching reruns of stuff to now.
The Korean baseball, remember?
Endless.
We're watching the Korean ball like crazy.
I think the other thing, and I know we're going to talk more about the Olympics in the next hour too, but there's nothing you can't see in the Olympics anymore. It's all right there for you. I love it. I think this has been, I think the time zone has a lot to do with it. So like Paris in primetime, which is what NBC's been doing at night, sometimes I want to sit down and watch that, but it's not very often because if there's something I want to watch, like this morning I wanted to see what happened in the four by four. To see what would happen in that. And I knew that as soon as I woke up this morning, that was the first thing I wanted to do, especially when I knew there was a 16-year-old that had a chance to run this morning. So I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that later.
Thank you. You're back. You're all about the kids.
I am all about the kids.
Now I'm happy.
You're anti-kids.
The world is all, yeah, because tell my three kids that.
Well, they know. I mean, I don't have to.
I never liked them.
I'm actually sharing
never
their feelings
liked them. Yeah.
For them on the air. And this is kind of a, you know, we're having an epiphany session for you. Just so you know.
Thanks.
Brian Anderson, super duper friend of the show, will join us at noon. That is coming up, and we'll talk baseball with him, especially with the Guardians and where they're going with this thing with a huge series this weekend against Minnesota. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. I mean, because we're sitting here debating in the break about what the Guardians roster looks like. And when Alex Cobb starts tonight, is he on the 40-man or not on the 40-man? And he's on the 40-man on the 60-day IL right now. According to MLB.com, which I think we can trust. Can we trust that? Anybody want to question that? He's on that. And if I'm reading correctly, on the 60-day, on your 40-man roster, okay, they've got a couple guys who are on the 60. Bieber, Cobb, who's going to come off tonight to start, Karinchak, Stefan, that's what, four, and then one more. Four. So that would take you to what, 60? That would take you to 44 on the roster. He comes off, so they do maybe need to make a switch here to get one more guy. It'll be interesting to see what happens, how they play that out. Because he'll have to come back on the active roster, so you get to 40. So we'll see. We'll see what the next move is for the Guardians. Okay, let's talk about kids, Jeff.
That's the tease. That's the lead in.
Yeah, that's the lead in. Let's talk about what I teased going in the break too, because you wanted to. You had just big fun last night when it comes to watching some of the kids play some baseball.
Well, it was crushing last night.
Crushing for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, you're making fun of me for wanting to talk about a kid's story? Mr. Defender of anything for anybody under the age of 16?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not making fun of the kids. I'm not either. I'm feeling snarky.
Jeff, I don't.
From you.
I do feel for the kids. It's the adults and not the kids. The adults didn't really do anything here. Okay, I will tell you what the adults did wrong then. I will find something with this
where
the adults did something that was so adult-like that it didn't make any sense for the kids.
I was flipping through last night. Something boring came on during the Olympics, so I switched over and a regional championship game. for the Little League World Series popped up.
Okay.
And it was those
ESPN3?
What were you watching? I don't know what it was.
I've been watching
the powerhouses out of Idaho and Washington were playing for the championship of the Northwest region. And Idaho had the lead going into the bottom of the sixth. And it's, or excuse me, top of the sixth. So they're up 6-5, right? You get three outs, you're done, right? You go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series.
You're on your way.
These kids had two outs and two strikes on the batter from Washington.
It's over, baby.
They were up 6-5.
La, 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 kid la, got la, a base la, la. Hit. They're getting ready to sing.
And it kept going.
What?
One strike away from going to Williamsport.
No.
Idaho gave up 8 runs.
Oh.
Washington took a 13-6 lead. They won 13-7.
Oh, they were one strike away.
One strike away from Williamsport and gave up 8.
Oh. And let me guess. The network that was airing this, which I think we all know, showed the kids crying after the loss. True?
Didn't notice that.
Okay.
Didn't notice that. I do notice that the kids from Washington had all had blonde hair. Little team unity thing, you know, they bleached their heads.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was just ironic that all the kids on that team
They bleached their hair.
Maybe that's why they came. Were able to come
I don't
back
know.
And win.
There were a couple of, you know, little shots of kids from Idaho who weren't real happy, but
they got to get that last out, right?
They didn't go nuts on the...
That's why you play till it's over.
But, I mean, talk about... Seriously. For the rest of their lives, I was one strike away from going to the Little League World Series. That's awful, man. There were some boots, some bad plays. Kid got to third base. Kid scored. And another kid was moved. Were there
any controversial calls or anything in there?
No, nothing. They did do a review of something.
It's like once they gave up the lead, they actually gave a review
and they overturned a call at first base. Next pitch to the next kid with two men on base. It's a bomb to center field. 3-run homer.
I hate to say I'm a hypocrite, but because I don't. It was crushing, man. I've never been in favor of showing the entire Little League World Series because at some point I just think it's.
They used to show the actual final game on Wide World of Sports back.
That was
in the
it.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. And it was
that
a,
was the that was what you saw. That
and
was
it was
it.
World Series. It was the team from the United States against a team from somewhere else in the world.
It wasn't kids wearing their regular uniforms, which is kind of what's going on now in these regional things.
I don't know. When I was watching last week, the. Team from I so I was watching ESPN3 and maybe it was a different level. The kids were from I don't want to say they were from near Youngstown, Poland, and they were wearing Central. They were representing the Central. I think they were playing Arizona in those games. It is amazing to me how many of these games you can watch now, all of them. And I used to think because remember we didn't really have Little League more than that Wide World of Sports game until the strike of '94. That is when the whole thing exploded.
Well,
because ESPN was looking for something to broadcast, and there was a part of me going, "Man, do we really need to show 12-year-olds playing? You know, two levels before they actually get to, and then talking about these kids like they're major leaguers."
Regardless, you have scarred kids in Idaho today.
Sorry to hear it. Zach in Cleveland wants to chime in.
One strike away, Zach.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
Guys, I've been watching the Little League World Series since before I was of the age of wanting to play in it. It's something I always had a dream of, and I'll probably watch it till the day I die. I'm still living vicariously through these kids out there. It's so cool to see, you guys were just saying, how far it's come. And the production is probably a little bit too much, but they have to, make it, viewable to be on TV so that people will watch it. So they have to... show all the kids, favorite sports and favorite foods and stuff like that. I think that stuff's kind of cool, but it just kind of gets redundant. But I was actually just thinking about this, and my girlfriend and I were watching it last night.
Zach, that was awful, man. One strike.
But if you also think about it on the other side, though, guys, I mean, that's what you dream of as a kid. It's top or bottom of the last inning. You got guys on base. You're down a run, down to your final strike, and you get the hit to take the lead. Like, that's what
I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now because that's what you dream of as a kid. That's what you want.
It was pretty
cool.
So we
get to see that in these kids. You get to see what these kids get to live out. Obviously, there always is the other side of it. There's always a loser that comes out of it. And it's sad to see these kids cry and stuff like that, of course. But, you know, it definitely builds character. I will say that, you know, and they're humbled enough to know that they're good enough to be on TV. But also there's kids on the other side of it that are just as good. And sometimes it doesn't always end in a win, even though it did the whole season for them to get to where they are. It sometimes doesn't always end that way. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I also think there's the other one, the other part of this is, I mean, that is going to be the pinnacle of so many of these kids' baseball career. Right?
Oh, without question.
To have a chance. Sure. I mean, I'm trying to remember, there aren't many guys that go from, you know, end up playing in that little, I mean, there were a couple off the top of my head that I just forgot. Like, I remember Brian Seip played in a Little League World Series championship.
Sean Burroughs did.
Is that Sean Burroughs? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. And to think that that's like, you know, that's it, man. That is the pinnacle of your baseball career. Yeah. So
remember those Little League teams, though. It's not like, you know, your rec team. They're all all-star teams from communities that play.
But they're not travel teams, are they?
No.
So.
No.
I don't. So then you have to make a decision, I think, at some point, right? Or most of those. I wonder how many of those kids go from playing on those Little League teams then to going to play travel ball.
I don't know.
As soon as that's over. So were you locked in on it then? I mean. So you were?
Well, I was watching it because these poor kids were getting crushed. They made a pitching change. The kid that actually was that was one strike away. He was actually throwing really well. Hmm. They took him out. There were errors behind him. It wasn't pretty. And then the first pitch by the next kid, this kid just hit a bomb to straightaway center. It was brutal.
Pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to see it. So I do know though that like all of these games are now available to watch 24/7. You know, you think about when we went from the pandemic watching reruns of stuff to now
the Korean baseball, remember?
Endless.
We're watching the Korean ball like crazy.
I think the other thing, and I know we're going to talk more about the Olympics in the next hour too, but there's nothing you can't see in the Olympics anymore. It's all right there for you. I love it. I think this has been, I think the time zone has a lot to do with it. So, like Paris in primetime, which is what NBC's been doing at night, sometimes I want to sit down and watch that, but it's not very often because if there's something I want to watch, like this morning I wanted to see what happened in the four by four to see what would happen in that. And I knew that as soon as I woke up this morning, that was the first thing I wanted to do, especially when I knew there was a 16-year-old that had a chance to run this morning. So I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that later.
Thank you. You're back. You're all about the kids.
I am all about the kids.
Now I'm happy.
You're anti-kids.
The world is all, yeah, because tell my three kids that.
Well, they know. I mean, I don't have to.
I never liked them.
I'm actually sharing
never
their feelings
them. Yeah.
For them on the air. And this is kind of a, you know, we're having an epiphany session for you, just so you know.
Thanks.
Brian Anderson, super duper friend of the show, will join us at noon. That is coming up, and we'll talk baseball with him, especially with the Guardians and where they're going with this thing with a huge series this weekend against Minnesota. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.